All right, welcome. This is our first week of learning the 10th, 11th, 12th Parakim of Chulin. We started the 10th Parak this week here in the Summer Kolo, and two topics which I'm going to be covering this afternoon. First one I'm going to do hopefully really quickly, but certainly a really interesting topic, and then the second topic we're going to be spending a lot more time on. First topic is a very simple topic, and Matanos Bezman Hazeh. Zolachai Vekeva, so the Shochtim, so when they sheft animals, so they make sure that they're going to take the front right leg and the lower jaw and the fourth stomach, and they're going to give it to Kohanim, right? And I'm sure every one of the butchers are meticulous about this halacha, right? So I'm sure of it. No. In other words, Bizman Hazeh, they don't. And so if I were to ask you the question, if you were to think right now what the halacha would be about Zolachai Vekeva, and should it be given Bizman Hazeh? So I think the answer should be in a resolute yes, they should. If you look back in the Mishnah, the Mishnah writes, Zolachai Vekeva, no hagim ba'aretz v'chutz aretz. It's knowing both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, b'fnei abayis shelo b'fnei abayis, when there's a base of Mikdash, when there's no base of Mikdash, b'chulim v'lo b'mikdashim, it applies to chulim, not to Mikdashim. Obviously, all the animals that we are shechting nowadays are chulim. And so it sounds like for the Mishnah, the answer should be yes, meaning of course they should. That's the Mishnah. In fact, if you take a look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah, which you saw already, but now I'm going to highlight the first Rashi in the Mishnah, the Rashi writes, Mishum Debaila Meimar, B'chul Nevalo B'mukdashim Nakalahu. Rashi is bothered by a really simple question. The Mishnah tells us a lot of halachas regarding Zerolachai Vekeva. One, it tells us it's Noeg Be'eretz V'chutzaretz. Two, it's Noeg B'fnei Abayis Shelo B'fnei Abayis. And Rashi says, at this point in time, there's simply no Chiddush. Meaning, Rashi says, why is the Mishnah giving us this information? It's obvious. Meaning, is this a mitzvah tzulei avaritz? Is it something that's connected to Eretz Yisrael? No. Meaning, it's not agriculture. It's not produce. It's not trumas. It's not maestros. It's not bikurim. Meaning, so there really is no reason why it should be limited to Eretz Yisrael. Right? The Mishnah Kedushin tells us that the mitzvahs that are noeg baritz only applies to those things which are connected to the ground. And even without their exceptions, Arla applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. But in other words, we're talking about animals over here. So Rashi in the Mishnah writes, Mishum Debaila Meimar Bechulam Velo Ben Mekdashim Nakalahu. The only reason why the Mishnah mentions Baritz Bechutz Aretz and Bifnei Abayis Shelo Bifnei Abayis is only because when we get to the last point, Chulam Velo Ben Mekdashim. So Rashi in the Mishnah is basically saying it's a no-brainer. Of course it applies when there is a base of Mekdash, when there's not. And it applies whether you're in an Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's Rashi in the Mishnah. Furthermore, and here you can look at the Mar Makamas. I handed out Mar Makamas. The first side is the topic of Matanos Bezman Hazeh. So, sorry, should have put a page number on it. Anyway, so I quoted the Rashi, the Rambam. Mitzvah's essay, Litain Kol Zovech Behema. I'm sorry, the Rambam's in Bikurim. Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. Right? I cite. So, Velakon, I'm sorry. So, Mitzvah's essay, Litain Kol Zovech Behema, Tahor Lakon, Azrov Lachai Vekeva. Shenember Vizayim Mishpat HaKohanim. And the Rambam says, by the way, it's called Matanos. That's throughout Shas. It's called Matanos. Tamid So basically, the Rambam verbatim holds like the Mishnah. Makes sense. And the Rambam's paskening. So again, the simple pshat would be, of course, that it applies both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. And before I provide any other counter argument, which there's going to be, so Maisa Rav, it's a great Maramakum. So Maisa Rav, so I found it. Maisa Rav is Sefer written by one of the Talmidim of the Gra, and he goes over all the Nehugim of the Gra. So it's a great little Sefer, and commentary on the bottom in terms of it as well. But over here, just a quick line, the Gam Shachet Egel. So now, I'm not sure what he means by that. The Gon Shechtin? It's hard to imagine. But anyway, the Gam Shachet Egel, Manasan Zor L'chaim Im HaLashon V'Hakev L'Kohen. So the Vilna Gaon actually did the mitzvah. Ubirach gam kein shechianu. So and he made a bracha shechianu, which in of itself is interesting. Again, not our topic right now. The Amar Shazor who etzem echad the lo kipos kemafa pi kein nasan shnei efsamos. And how many bones? So he held it was one bone. Other poskim say it's two bones. As I mentioned yesterday, it comes up at the end of the parak exactly what sections the legs. Point being, the Gaon did so as well. The Gaon separated Zor L'chai V'keva, and he gave it. So, and the Shulchan Aruch also is quoted over here as well. So it's Noeg Bezman Hazeh. What would be The Shulchan Aruch, however, if you when you read inside, you'll realize that there's another side to the issue. What would be any kind of counter pressure? Meaning, what would be the argument that you wouldn't be chayiv? So for this, it's going to be based on the Gemara coming up later on. Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to get to the Gemara. It's on Kuf Lamed Vav. So if you look at Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, I didn't quote in the Mar Makomu sheet, but the right in the middle of Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, the Gemara reads as follows: Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Ha'idna. Nowadays, Nag Alma Kahani Tva Sabe. So there are three heterim that we follow nowadays. This is a Gemara right in the middle of Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. And the first one is Karabi Lai Bereshis Ages. Detanya Rabbi Lai Zomer Reshis Ages Eino Noig Ela Ba'aretz. The Mitzvah Reshis Ages, and that's the 11th parak. That's the next parak. So that only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? For reasons which I'm not going to get into right now, but for reasons that Rabbi Lai has, he has Akashim, he has Gzera Shavas. Okay? In other words, he holds that Reshis Ages only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Now obviously Reshis Ages, the shearing of an animal, it's not a mitzvah tuliyah baretz, but based on limudim, he says that nowadays we are not going to do reishis hages outside of Eretz Yisrael. There is a short Rashi over there, right on that Gemara, Rabbi Lai, reishis hages. And if you take a look at the Rashi, what is Rashi right over there? V'hu adin lamatanos. And Rashi says, not only are we going to be makel regarding reishis hages, we're also going to be makel by matanos as well. Meaning matanos only apply in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. And so that's the sheet of Rabbi Lai, and the Gemara says that we paskin like that, or I should say better, we're noheg like that sheet of Rabbi Lai. Okay. It is going to be a bit of an oddity, because as we go through this parak, you're going to see Amoraim giving matanos. And so it's a little bit strange that the Gemara says that we are availing ourselves to a heter Rabbi Lai, and meanwhile the Amoraim, who ostensibly lived after Rabbi Lai, Rabbi Lai Zatana, so they're going to be holding like Zorah, they're going to be being mafish Zorah L'chai V'kev and giving it to the Kohanim. So that's a little bit strange. And then, just to end off this first section, so fine. So, and if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and you take a look at the Tor, so you'll see that there are those who are Mekel. I'm reading from the Tor, Yoredeya Simon Samachal. There's only one Simon on Matnos Kahuna. V'nehagim mein ba'eretz Yisrael bein b'chutz aretz v'chol zman chen kasav Rambam. So he quotes the Rambam, we quoted the Rambam. Rashi pasuk she'eino agim b'zman hazeh. Rashi pasuk that it doesn't apply nowadays. So which Rashi is he making reference to? The one I showed you. And Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. V'chein kasav Rav Meir Mirottenberg v'chein agim. So the Torah says that's our minig. Our minig is that we don't do it. So fine. So that is the Torah. And so the minig is not to do so. And it's based on the Rashi which the Torah cites. All this will just bring me to one last question on this first topic. Okay, yeah, good. One last question, and that is the first Rashi on our parak. Meaning now we go back to the first Rashi on our parak, and this is not going to be my question. I will assign credit to this question. Now you go back to the Rashi on our parak, and Rashi says, well, you know, in the Mishnah, in the opening lines of the Mishnah, there's no Chiddush. Right? Hazro l'chaim v'keva, no'agim ba'aretz v'chutz aretz b'fnei abayis shalom b'fnei abayis b'chulim v'lom b'mukdashim. So Rashi in the beginning says, why is the Mishnah going through all this? Only because it wants to get to Mugdashin, Chulin Veloba Mugdashin. But everything before that was obvious. And now you're wondering, well, that's not true. Meaning there's a Shita in the Gemara, which Rashi himself later ascribes to our Minug, that says that it doesn't apply in Chutzar, so it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So what's Rashi saying? What's the first Rashi in our Perek? First Rashi in our Perek says that because only of the last point, that's the Chiddush. Everything else before that is not a Chiddush. Now, who gets credit for this question? So that's Rabbi Akiva Eiger. If you take a look at the Gilgal Hashas right there on the Gemara, so Ayin Lekaman Daf Kufla Meches Amun Vez Rashi, Levad Mereshis Ageiz. So it's interesting. He could also have quoted the Rashi that we quoted on Kufla Amun Vav. But anyway, but Rashi in a couple places in our parak is going to say that the Mitzvah of Reshis Ageiz, like Rabbi Lai, doesn't apply in Chusar. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And so for our Mishnah to say that it's noeg baretz v'chutz aretz, that is a chiddush, because not everyone subscribes to that viewpoint. Okay, so that is and that's where we end with a kasha and Rashi. Okay, and that is all topic number one. So I don't know. Yeah. Right. All right, and he seems to extend. Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Right. So in other words, right. I was going to end off by saying I don't know what the minhag is in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what the minhag is in Eretz Yisrael. I assume they don't take off. They're all chayim keva, but I don't have makoros for that. So I don't know. Okay. And so is our first topic, Matons Bezman Hazeh. So the simple pshat is that it's still chayiv nowadays, and that's a simple pshat. But as you saw, there are makaros that would pop there. Okay, that was halacha. Okay, from this point going forward, it's going to be lumdus. Okay, a big topic in our Mishnah, which is really now leaving the world of Matanos, and for the rest of this afternoon, I'm going to leave the world of Matanos. So it talks about Psula and Mugdashim. So the story behind Psula and Mugdashim is as follows. So as you saw already in the Mishnah, if I have a animal assigned as a carbon and had Kedusha Seguf and I was Makdash before, it got a mum. And then after I was Makdash, then it got a mum. So the halacha is that you can now be Poded. You can now be Poded, and it falls under the category of Psula HaMukdashim. Now, what is the story behind Psula HaMukdashim? So, encrypted in Parshas Re'eh, so the Torah tells us exactly what happens with Psula HaMukdashim. Pasuk says, Perek Yud Beis, Parshas Re'eh, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes Vav, Rak B'chol Avas Nafshecha Tizbach, V'achalta Basar Kibirchas Hashem Lekecha Asher Nasan Lecha B'chol She'arecha, Atame V'ator Yochlenu Kitzvi V'cha'ayam. Now, if you didn't know any better, if you didn't know Torah Shabbat Peh, so you would have said that the Pasuk over here has nothing to do with Psula HaMukdashim. In fact, the Pasuk reads very simple. Rak B'chol Avas Nafshecha Tizbach V'achalta Basar. When you get good and hungry, and you're interested in meat, so go ahead, Shech, eat. As the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us bracha. Meanwhile, the Gemara says, Gemara not here, Gemara elsewhere, and Rashi brings it down on Chumash, that pasuk is talking about Psula HaMukdashim. So how does the Gemara arrive at that conclusion? So not for now, but the Gemara knows. The Gemara knows that that's talking about Psula HaMukdashim. And basically, when you get to a situation where I had a carbon, it got a mum, I was poed to the carbon, so under those circumstances, now, V'achalta basar, v'kibirchas Hashem lokecha asher nasan lach b'chol sharecha, hatameh v'atorah yochlenu ketzvi v'chayam. So the Torah now is telling us tremendous chidushim. Even though at one point in time, historically, this animal was a carbon, a tameh is not allowed to eat a carbon. For a tameh to eat a carbon, it's a chiv karis. Tameh is not allowed to eat a carbon. But over here, now that it is bin, has a mom, and you are poed to it, so under these circumstances now, who is allowed to eat it? Atame v'atorah yochlenu. Atame and Torah can eat it together. Kitzvi v'cha'ayal. And basically, it's like eating any other meat. Now, specifically, and not only any other meat, but the Torah points to wild animal. Ayal, by the way, in the pasuk over there, is not talking about a ram. It's talking about another type of deer. In other words, kitzvi v'cha'ayal. Okay, and the Gemara generates a lot of halachas regarding Psula HaMukdashim based on that pasuk and based on that drasha. And good. What I want to discuss from a lambda standpoint is a very simple question. We go from an animal which was a carbon to an animal that clearly no longer has the restrictions and regulations and the rigors of a carbon. It goes from being kadosh to being now chulin. Yes and no. Meaning, what else do we know regarding Psula HaMukdashim? So we learned the Mishnah together. And we know a lot of things about Psula HaMukdashim. I can't shear it. I can't work it. The milk is going to be usser. The vlados are going to be usser. Meaning there's still, it's heavily regulated. And so, in terms of just lumdus and a simple chakira, I'll ask the following question. When we go from being a carbon to being now Psula HaMukdashim, is it... And I'll give you your two options. Is it now considered chulin with some isurim that are still connected? Or is it a carbon but with many heterim? In other words, think about it. In other words, it was a carbon. I could do shasaguf. And it got a mom. And I was poded. So that pidgin now, it gives me tremendous allowances. Well, 1 second. I'll get to nafkimis in just a moment. So it gives me tremendous allowances, meaning I don't have to eat it in the Azara. I'm not going to be offering it as a carbon. I don't have to eat it in the Azara. I can eat it wherever I want. And furthermore, a tummy person can eat it. Okay, but maybe, just from a lambda standpoint, maybe we could say that it still has vestiges of it being a karban, but the Torah provides certain heterim. The other possibility is that really it's heter, but the Torah has retained certain isurim by it. So when we talk about psula hamukdashim from a fundamental standpoint, are we saying that it's a karban, or are we saying that it's chulin? Karban with heterim, or chulin with isurim? Okay. Because what's going to be exciting is that I'm going to go with option C. But we'll get there in just a moment. Okay. Start with a tosos and chulin. Okay. Actually, if you have the Masechta, you can see it in tosos inside. It's a really long tosos. Tosos starts on Sadi Chesem and Beis. And tosos goes for some time. This is a big tosos. It's in general, it's an important tosos. It talks about the topic of Tam Keker. Okay. See the tosos on the bottom of Tzadi Ches Amud Beis, going well into Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph. So this tosos over here is talking about the topic of Tam Keker. And over here, I'm just taking an excerpt out of the Tosfos to discuss the following. The question of Tam Keker. In other words, if I have Tam of Isser that permeates and goes out through a food that's kosher. So, and I eat the food with the Tam Isser. So obviously you can't do that. In other words, that's Asser. Are we talking about Nisr D'Oraisa? Are we talking about Nisr D'Rabbanan? So the Rishonim debate this very issue. And Tosfos over here writes, I'm just quoting an excerpt. Rav Yosef Mor Orleans, I am a farish, Alpha Gav, the Tam Ke'ikr D'Oraisa, Lo Laki Atam, Afilu Shalom Bimino. So Tam Ke'ikr is an Nisr D'Oraisa. Suggests one of the Balei Tosfos, right? Rav Yosef Mor Orleans. So he says, Tam Keker is for sure a Nisr D'Oraisa. But the only difference is that you're not going to get Malkus for eating it. Afil Shalom Bimino, even if it's Min B'Sheino Mino. Meaning, Amamish could taste the Yisr. But still, you're not going to get Malkus. The Rabbi Yochanan and Savalak Rabbi Kiva Yalav Tam Keker, Migiulu of the Kocham Veleka Ela Asay. The Ta'avir Be'esh, the Matzrich Libun Ba'agala. And it's true that it's an Isr, but it's an Isr Asay. Meaning, the way that Rabbi Yosef Mor Orleans understands is that what you're going to be doing is you're going to be required to remove the Isser, the Tam Isser, but in other words, but it's not a Lav Gomer. Along comes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam makes the following point. Rabbeinu Tam Heshiv Lo, the Islam Lamemar, the Adrenal Isura. And Rabbeinu Tam says no. No. In other words, it's true that it's an Asay, but at the same time, you know what that Asay does? It brings back our original Isser. He says, Rabbeinu Tam says, I'll tell you what this is analogous to. Kedamrin ba'alkech uber parasa. Nine. Hagozes va'oved. Perish bepsule hamukdashim. Sofeg es ha'arbayim. So Rabbeinu Tam quotes a Gemara in Bechoros, one that now we're really familiar with, because we did the Mishnah. And the Gemara in Bechoros discusses the following scenario. What happens if I do Giza and Avoda with psule hamukdashim? Now we know you're not allowed to. And what happens if you do so? So Rabbeinu Tam says you're going to get Malkus. V'af agav de lo nafkalan ela mitizbach v'lo giza. Now, is there a lav for psulei hamukdashim? Now, there for sure is a lav when the animal was a karban. For sure there was a lav. Torah says so. But once now it has a mom and I was podet. So now, how do I know that I'm not allowed to do giza? So the Gemara darshins that from the fact that the Torah says tizbach, that's the pasuk in Re'e, tizbach velo giza. So it comes out from a essay, from a mitzvah's essay. So basically it's an Isser essay. Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, I know it's an Isser essay, but you know what it's doing? It's re-inviting back the original lav. Ela hainu taima mishum de ahadril isura de lo sa'avod velo sagos. Rabbeinu Tam says, is that really what the Isser essay is doing is? It's just bringing it back to the original Isser. So Rabbeinu Tam makes the argument, just like Tam Ke'ikr, which is an Isser D'Oraisa, and it's true that if it's just Tam and it's not Mamasho, it's true that it's an essay, but it's an essay that brings us back to the original Isser, just like Psulei HaMukdashim. The Isser Giza that occurs after I was poda it, so there's an Isser Giza, and it's true that the Torah introduces us to this Isser via an essay, but ahadra le'isuri kama, bringing us back to the original Isser. Now, this Rabbeinu Tam, in of itself is fascinating. So what does it sound like in terms of how he understands Psula HaMukdashim? Meaning, if the Isser Giza is bringing us back to the original Isser, so what does it sound like in terms of the Isser Giza Shabo? Does it sound like it's still a carbon? Sounds that way. From the Rabbinic time, it certainly sounds like if we're going back to the original Isser while it was a carbon, sounds like it still has remnants of it being a carbon. Okay. With that stated, a Gemara in Bechoros. Gemara in Bechoros talks about a Bechor that's a Balmum. Now, Bechor Balmum, so as I mentioned already a couple of times, I mentioned at the beginning of Seder this morning, so Bechor Balmum is not subject to Pidyon. You can't be poed the Bechor Balmum. Okay, you give it to the Kohen eats it. Okay, good. Now, when the Kohen's eating is Bechor Balmum, so who is he get to invite over in order to eat his Bechor Balmum together with him? So the Mishnah brings down a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Omrim, this is a Mishnah Bechoros. Beis Shammai Omrim, lo yimna Yisrael im ha-Kohen le-Bechor. O Beis Hillel matirim va-afilo ove kochavim. So a really interesting machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, the Kohen cannot invite anyone who's not a Kohen to eat his Bechor, even though it's a Bechor Balmum. And Beis Hillel says, no, he can invite whoever he wants. He can invite a Yisrael, he can even invite a guy. In other words, the Bechor Balmum no longer retains any of its Kedusha whatsoever. This machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Gemara goes through it. I'd love to go through the Gemara right now. Time's not going to permit me to do so. Quickly, if I can, I'm going to just show you a Rashi at the end of the Sugya. Rashi over there, the Gemara has a number of other nafkaminis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding our Bechor Balmum. Can the Kohen have his wife who's a Nida eat the Bechor Balmum with him? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue that point. Can you basically discard any of the meat while cutting off the hide? So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue that point as well. The Gemara goes through all of it. I'm just not going to go through the Gemara right now, only because of the consideration of time. If you take a look at the Rashi, at the end of that sugya, Rashi writes, Beis Shammai hi, desavri Bechor Balmum b'kdusha sokai. Afilu la'achar shchita, kitam. V'chi hechi detam ein margilim mishum bizayin dekashim, depogim abasar, demityari lachto cha'or v'chotech abasar bebamum, nami ein margilim. So, Rashi describes that Beis Shammai, Bechor Balmum, what happens? B'kdusha sokai. It remains its kedusha. And since it remains its kedusha, whatever is true regarding the Bechor is going to be true regarding the Bechor Balmum. That's Shitas Beis Shammai. If that's Shitas Beis Shammai, where does Beis Hillel fall? In other words, what's the other side of that? Where's Beis Hillel on this topic? Obviously, if Beis Hillel is allowing the Kohen to invite even a guy over to eat his Bechor Balmum, what does Beis Hillel view the Bechor Balmum in terms of Kedusha? It's nothing. In other words, it's not a carbon, it's nothing. In other words, it is totally devoid of any Kedusha whatsoever. And so therefore, it's still matnas kahuna. You still have to give it to the Kohen. But as far as the Kohen is concerned, he can invite Goyim to eat it. His wife Zanida can come and eat it. Even as you are cutting off the hide, and some pieces are going to get discarded, that's fine as well. In other words, mamash, it has no kedusha. It's mamon Kohen, but it no longer has kedusha. Okay. So hopefully, what I've done is I presented now really two sides to Psula HaMukdashim. Meaning on one hand, Rabbeinu Tam in Chulin says that by Psula HaMukdashim, the Isser Giza and the Isser Avoda are the same Isser Giza of Avoda that existed before Pidyon. You're going to get Malkus, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if for doing Giza of Avoda for Psula HaMukdashim, because it retained its Isser of, it's still the same original Isser as it was prior to the Balmum, prior to getting a Mum. On the other hand, over here in Bechoros, Beis Hillel is of the opinion that when you have a Bechor Balmum, now granted, by the way, the cases are not perfectly parallel, because the Bechor Balmum, you can't be podeh. So granted, it's missing the Pidyon aspect of it. But still, in other words, now that it's a Balmum, so at this point in time, now the Kedusha, according to Beis Hillel, is totally gone. So, our question now stands, Psula HaMukdashim, is it a Karbon with Heterim? Or is it chulin but with Isurim. And hopefully what I'm going to present to you now right now is a really interesting position, which is, if I'm not going to go with option A and option B, what's option C going to be? Huh? It's a combination. So it's both. Okay. I'm going to demonstrate this to you with two really interesting makaros. One's in Chulin. So it's great. Everything today is in Chulin. So one's going to be in Chulin. If you have a Gemara Chulin in front of you, open up to Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara in Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis talks about the Isser Abbas B'Cholav. Perikol Abbasar. The Gemara over there asks a very simple question. If you look on the bottom of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, Amar Yish Lakish Minan L'Abbas B'Cholav She'Asser. How do I know the Basar B'Cholav is going to be Asser? Tamalomar Al Tochlumi Menunah V'Shal Mevushal She'en Tamalomar Mevushal. Okay. Gemara goes through numerous makaros in terms of how we know that basar b'chalav is going to be usser, both bishul, achila, and anam. So Amar le Rav Yochanan, Me'ur zu shashana Rebbe. So Rav Yochanan says, I don't understand, we already have a drasha. Rebbe gave us a drasha. What's the drasha of Rebbe? As we are now on the top of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis, lo soch lenu. He's quoting our pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Kibasar b'chalav hakasav medaber. So lo sochlenu is basically an allusion to the iser achila of basar b'chalav. If I could just explain this a little bit better. The Torah never says a basar b'chalav is asar b'achila. Well, we know it is, but the Torah never says it. The Torah continuously repeats lo sevashal gidi b'chalav imo, but it never says that there's an iser achila. So the Gemara in these Dapim, Kuf Tes Vav, Kuf Tes Zayin, goes through numerous makaros of how we know it's Asar B'Achila and B'Hana and in Bishul. Well, Bishul, the Torah says. How do we know it's Asar B'Achila V'Hana? So Rebbe arrives at the following drasha, Lo Soch Lenu. The Lo Soch Lenu in Parshas Re'eh, our Pasuk, is a reference, it's an allusion to Basar B'Chalav. HaKasim Medaber. Ato Omer B'Basar B'Chalav HaKasim Medaber Ve'enu Ela Ke'echad B'Echad Mikol Yisrim Shebetorah. Could be talking about any Isser. No, not any Yisr, but any Achila Yisr. Amart Sei Ulamed Meyugimel Midrash Atonu Jeshas Behem Davar Lamei Minyano. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know one of the 13 drushas is? Davar Lamei Minyano. What's Davar Lamei Minyano? Context. Whatever the Torah is talking about over there, so it's the same context. What is the Torah talking about over there? We know the answer. What's the Torah talking about over there? Psule HaMukdashin. So, Bamea Kasa Medaber B'Shnei Minim. Afkan b'shnei minim. The Torah over there is talking about shnei minim. Here too, we're talking about shnei minim. Look at Rashi over there. Shnei minim. Rashi writes, psulei hamukdashim sheniftu. Shnei minim hein. Mutarim ba'achila kechulin. Ve'asurim b'giza v'avoda kekachim. Kedamar b'becharos. Tizbach v'lo giza. Basar v'lo chalav. So the limud of Rebbe, that basar b'chalav is going to be aser, teasing it out of our pasuk of psula hamukdashim. How can psula hamukdashim possibly be comparable to basar b'chalav? So Rebbe's drasha, as explained by Rashi, is because it's shnei minim. Basar b'chalav is two minim, and so is psula hamukdashim. Psula hamukdashim is also shnei minim. It is a hybrid. It is chulin and kachim mixed together. So says Rashi. And Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. And here we get to a really interesting application of this principle. The Gemara in Makos, I have it on the Mar Mekomo sheet. The Gemara in Makos says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Hamanig Bishur Psule Hamukdashim, Loke. Shari Guf Echad Hu, Vaaso Akasov Kishne Gufim. The Gemara in Makos brings down the following. Let's say that you lead an ox, which happens to be Psule Hamukdashim. Now, you know by Kalaim, there's many applications of Kalaim, right? Wool and linen is probably the most popular, but there are many other applications of Kalaim, including that you're not allowed to take and hitch your wagon, your plow, to two different animals. And in doing so, one would be in violation of the Isser of Kalaim. The Gemara in Mako says, Hamanig Bishur Psula Hamukdashim. So if I take my wagon and I hitch it to Psula Hamukdashim, so you're going to get Malkus. What could the Gemara possibly mean by that?
Like
So take a look at Rashi. It's Rashi right on the Gemara. Am Rabbi Yoshia. Now, I didn't quote the first part of the Gemara, but Hamarvia Ashur Psula Hamukdashim Lokishnayim. Hamarvia Ashur Psula Mukdashim Shinifta Afila Mino Lokishare Guf Echad Vasal Kasav Shne Gufim. The Torah Schulim, the Torah Kachim Yesh Allah, Torah Schulim Shemutta Bachilam Echutz the Pesach O Moed, Ki Ilu Lohukdash Me Olam. So on one hand, the Torah treats it like Chulim. In that, you can eat it whenever you, wherever you want. The Torah Kachim Shasu Begizav Avodik and Emir Besifri. In other words, all the drushas that you can't shear it and you can't work it, meaning it's kachim, it's both. So you can't cross it with another animal. Afilu imino, even with another of its min. Mishum kalaim shemarvi achulin al kachim, o kachim achulin. V'chein b'manig. And listen to this last part of Rashi. It is exciting. And the same thing is going to be true with manig. If let's say now I hitch my cart to just one animal. Im mino v'afilu manhigo bifnei atzmo. Rashi says, if all I'm doing is hitching it to this one animal, chulin v'kashim hu. So Rashi says, what you've just basically done now is you've hitched it to two animals. Tremendous chiddush. It's Rashi. It's Rashi in the Gemara. V'chayv mishum kalayim. And this is kalayim. D'charishahu. Sorry. D'charishahu atzmo kalayim she'asam akasav shnei gufim. V'lo shamati raya minalim d'chulin v'kashim kalayim zeva zeva davar temahu. Now Rashi at the end does wonder. It's a tremendous chiddush, meaning kalaim is two different animals. These aren't two different animals; they're two different categories. It's chulin and kachin, but Rashi says it as a pshat, and I don't have to limit it to Rashi. The Rambam says it as well. The Rambam in Hilchos Kalaim, Perek Tes Halacha Yud Aleph. So the Rambam also subscribes to this idea that if I were to take a plow and hitch it onto Psula Hamukdashim. So I'm in violation of kalaim. Those are two animals. Just happen to inhabit one single animal. Rambam says it as well. Kesef Mishnah comments that the Rambam is holding like Rashi. Now we can go on, by the way, from here, because if you take a look at the Raiva doesn't agree with this whole principle. And if you take a look at the Rabbi Natam and the Gemara Makos, he also doesn't agree with this principle as well. But right now, just highlighting the basic idea. That when we talk about Psula and Mugdashim, so hopefully what I did is I presented two sides, and not only did I present two sides, but actually we can even entertain both sides at the same time. So in other words, by Psula and Mugdashim, so is it a carbon? So seemingly the answer is yes. In fact, Rabbeinu Tam in Chulin says that that if I do Giza V'Avoda with my Psula and Mugdashim, we're going to get Malkus, even though the Isser Malkus is only when it was a carbon. After I redeemed it, it's no longer a carbon. And yet Rabbeinu Tam says you're going to get Malkus. Why? A Hadral Isser Rekama, because it goes back to the original Isser. Because it's still somewhat a carbon. On the other hand, Beis Hillel's position in the Gemara in Bechoros is that when I have a Bechor Balmom, so in Mamash, it's a Heter Gamor. The Kohen can invite anyone he wants to eat the Bechor with him, and various other Heterim that apply to it. And Rashi very clearly writes that Beishame holds Bekdusha so Kai, and clearly Beis Hillel does not hold. In other words, it no longer has any Kedusha. So, is it a carbon or is it chulin? And so, the most interesting position is yes. Yes, it's both. And it really, this position bears out, number one, the Rashi and chulin, where Rebbe's limud of Basa B'chalav is at Shnei Minim, because it's connected to the Pasuk of Psula Amukdashim, just like Psula Amukdashim or Shnei Minim, so to Basa Bechalav or Shnei Minim, the Torah says Lo Sochlenu, the Torah says Lo Sochlenu, attaching it to Basa Bechalav, that Rashi is pretty clear. And then the most exciting application is the Rashi and Makos, even though he at the end, Rashi just wonders how we arrive at this Chiddush, but Rashi at the end of Makos says that if I take a plow and I hitch it to an animal that's Psula Amukdashim, I'm in violation of kalaim, it's one animal. And I'm in violation of kalaim. Why? It's one animal that's really two animals. And so therefore you're in violation of kalaim. And seemingly the Rambam also subscribes to this idea as well. Okay.